Immigration, as we've heard, is one of the key policy areas for the Trump administration, with proposals ranging from building a wall along the country's southern border to family separations to changes in who can get a green card among those coming from the White House. But my next guest says many policymakers are not thinking about this in the right way. Wadi Gaitan is national spokesperson for the Libre Initiative, which is affiliated with Americans for Prosperity. He was in town recently, and when I sat down with him, I asked what he and his group think about changes to the so-called public charge rule in terms of who can get a green card.
So it's very important to understand when we talk about the public charge rule that it touches on two areas, right? It is an immigration policy that the administration is putting into place, but it is related to what many folks call entitlement, welfare, public benefits. Many folks look at this through the scope of public benefits. They're saying, okay, you know what? Folks who want to come to our country who have yet to contribute through taxes, through economic growth should not be entitled to what other Americans have paid into, right? And that sort of sounds like it makes sense. However, this rule, what it really does is it creates a limit. It creates a barrier for willing immigrants who want to come and contribute to our nation to have access to visas to come. So this is why we actually believe that the public charge rule is not a positive step.
We've heard some concerns, including from Governor Ducey here in Arizona, that there should be a more balanced approach where you let in some folks who are sort of at the top of the economic spectrum, some in the middle and some at the bottom, who maybe at some point might need some kind of public benefits because there are employers who need all of those types of immigrants. Is that something that resonates with you and with your group?
It is, correct. So many times folks divide the visa system or the type of workers by saying high-skilled and low-skilled. The way we like to characterize them across the board is just critical skills, because the reality is that even low-skilled workers, we believe, have critical skills. They meet a need within our economy. There are several employers in agriculture, in hospitality, in trade areas that they have, again, a demand and need these people to be in the country and to have an opportunity to contribute in these industries.
Some of those industries you mentioned, I'm thinking hospitality, construction, obviously a big one here, agriculture, those are all really big industries here in Arizona. I'm wondering, is there any workable way where states could have some kind of say as far as what kind of migrants they let in or what kind of green card holders they would like to get in? Is that a workable solution in any way?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question. There's an organization called the Cato Institute in Washington, D.C. They're a think tank.
Libertarian leaning.
And we work very closely with them. And they're actually working on essentially like a framework on how states can try to create some kind of pathway for people to legally be able to work in their states who are immigrants. It is a very tough process because immigration is federal law. But again, organizations like the Cato Institute, I think, are looking at how can they put together a framework so that states are more empowered to make those decisions. Because the reality is a lot of states like Arizona, Nevada, Florida, they depend on areas like hospitality, like tourism, and many of these industries are actually temporary.
Do you get the sense that policymakers think about immigration and the economy and economics together as much as maybe they ought to be? Because listening to you talk, it sounds like, yes, it's an immigration conversation, but it's also very much an economic conversation.
Yeah, it's very difficult because immigration is a subject that doesn't touch just one lane. We talked right now about the economy, but you also have to talk about culture. There's an interconnectedness between immigrants and non-immigrants. So when our policymakers are thinking of how to improve the immigration system, they have to sometime battle myths in this area.
Do you get the sense that that cultural component is, if not the hang-up, then one of the main hang-ups in Congress and the administration getting anything done on this?
Oh, I would completely agree. It's a large part of the conversation. But something that we have seen and something we're trying to do at the Libre Initiative is really talk about that interconnectedness. It is a perfect example of how it's not just about immigrants are great, they're the best and the brightest. No, it's about when immigrants are here looking for their best future, connected with Americans, native-born Americans, U.S. citizens who are also looking to build their future. When those two people working together to thrive, we see great technology. We see great improvement in our communities. We see safety. We see improvements in our education schools because immigrants put a big focus. They view education as a cornerstone and as a ladder to move, as do you know, U.S. American. So that interconnectedness and those shared goals of a better future, it allows people to understand what we call others, people who are maybe not like us in every way.
So in terms of trying to get something done and trying to advance policy, do you advocate for taking what's been known as the comprehensive approach, where you look at the entire immigration system and try to fix it from soup to nuts? Do you think it's better to take it piece by piece and see maybe what incremental changes you can make?
Yeah, so we definitely recognize that there is a need for a top-to-bottom reform from our immigration system. But then when we look at Congress and when we look at, you know, a majority Democrat in the House, a majority Republican in the Senate, and then a Republican president, we realize that a top-to-bottom in one bill approach is very difficult. So we do believe that the current best path forward, the most strategic path forward, is actually to take it step by step. We actually believe that one of the first things where there's a lot of overlap and agreement and common ground is on the subject of Dreamers and border security. We believe that pairing these two issues together is a good first step that could create momentum to start fixing other parts of our immigration system. So we believe that the way the current political frame is right now, that a step-by-step approach is the best path forward.
All right, that's Wadi Gaitan, national spokesperson for the Libre Initiative. Wadi, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.